and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he's shortening the 50-day deadline he gave Russia to work out a ceasefire with Ukraine.
I'm going to make a new deadline of about 10 or 12 days from today.
Spoke from Scotland, where he's hosting Britain's prime minister at his two golf clubs today. Police in Arkansas are searching for a suspect after a husband and wife were killed while they were hiking in a state park. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The murdered couple's daughters, ages 7 and 9, were not hurt in the attack.
A search underway in Louisiana after an inmate was allowed to walk out of the same jail that 10 men escaped from in May. Orleans Parish Sheriff Susan Houston.
I want to make a sincere apology to the people of New Orleans. The mistaken release of Khalil Bryant was a serious error, and as sheriff, I take full responsibility.
One of the men who broke out in May is still missing. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Lisa Hale, in for Melissa Kay. Today is going to be a hot one. The National Weather Service says it will be hot and humid through the Fox Valley, central Wisconsin, and the northeast Wisconsin region. Heat indices are expected to reach triple digits, and a heat advisory is in effect for most of the listening area. Severe storms are possible tonight over portions of central Wisconsin. More details are coming up in the weather forecast. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission is sharing some helpful tips with residents on keeping their homes cool while saving energy. We've still got about 6 weeks of summer, and of course that means hot weather, and residents looking to stay cool can save money by taking some simple steps, like keeping the blinds and curtains closed, unplugging electronics like the television when they're not being used, and making sure the air conditioner's filter is clean. Officials are also reminding residents that it's illegal for utility companies to disconnect electrical services during a heat advisory. While home prices are remaining high, there are some positive trends for potential home buyers in recent months. Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska has more.
The state's housing market saw some positive signs in its June home sales report, which showed year-over-year sales up 8.1% and a slowing in the rise of median home prices. For over 4 years, the average cost of a home year-over-year rose 5%. For three of the last 4 months, that figure has stayed under 5%. The Wisconsin Realtors Association said that 11.5% of all closings happened in the month of June, and increasing home sales this summer could show an improving housing market.
The median price for a home in Wisconsin was $340,000 in June. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a great Monday out there. We're going to kick off the week, the show, with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt. How you doing?
Good morning. I survived camping at EAA somehow in all that heat.
I want to hear more about that, but that is the third time this morning on the air I have rhymed, and I am not trying
unintentional
to.
Rhyming.
I don't know what's wrong with me right now. I don't know what it is, but let's just sit back and enjoy it.
Maybe it's a disorder we don't know about.
Yeah,
the rhyming disorder.
I might have something to do with it. Brittany, how did you enjoy the EAA event?
It was a blast. It was very hot. It was very sticky. I lost a lot of water weight while I was there. Took a lot of steps, a lot of walking. Mm. I'll tell you, it was a workout that I wasn't planning for. But when the storms hit Wednesday, it was for me. My tent went flying across.
So
I had to
reset
a camp. It's funny now. It wasn't funny back then.
Say it's not funny in the moment.
Yeah, no, I feel for you. Oh, that's rough. I'm glad overall, though, it was a good time to be out there and everything. And my brother, for years, worked over there and helped, setting this weekend up and everything, and how much pride him and they all took in those things.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a director kind of just sitting back and watching the show as it happens and everything. And then when there's all these the precautions in the backup plans that they have for weather and some of that, it's really cool. It really is impressive. And I hope everybody had a great time this weekend. And not too many tents went flying. Our poor Brittany. I feel for you, Brett.
As long as she wasn't in it at the time, that's the important thing.
Yes. Yeah, that is a good catch. Nice. Good note by you. Real quick, Brittany, I don't want to keep you too long here, but I did notice something in catching our local forecasts over the weekend. We're hitting getting closer and closer to maybe hitting a record of 90-degree temperature days. Have you heard that or seen anything about that?
Yes, I was actually looking into this last week, the day my tent went flying. So before everything went wild, I was looking into how many 90-degree days that we actually have a year and how often they are. Do we get this in El Nino versus La Nina? Are we increasing in intensity? Are they longer? What's going on here? And I was noticing that these 90-degree days are sneaking in more and more often. You expect them in an El Nino warmer year, but they are spiking in La Nina years. And that is what we're in right now, is a weak La Nina, and getting these wild spikes of long stretches of 90s. So yeah, we are pretty close to breaking that record.
See, this is why I bring it up. I didn't know half of that.
Right.
You rock, Brittany. Thank you for that. I appreciate
it. I'm a nerd.
Are we going to, you're not alone. Are we going to hit another 90 today? What is it going to look like for today?
Yes, we are. Probably at about 91 degrees, but that humidity is still very, very thick. So it's going to be feeling more like 98 degrees or so today. The winds are not going to be moving much either, so not much relief with a breeze, unfortunately. But we do have a system moving through tonight. I think it'll get around our area maybe midnight, possibly with some thunders. We could see some higher winds, gusty winds, possible power outages, but I think it'll just be a steady rain kind of ongoing till maybe 8 or so in the morning. And then behind that, a little bit cooler tomorrow in the low 80s to mid 80s. And then once all of the system and the front passes, the rest of the week is beautiful. Beautiful, because high pressure, sunshine, upper 70s, just that perfect summer weather, and it's going to be extended. So today's the last 90 degree.
Get out there and enjoy that when it gets a little nicer. Today, everybody.
Yeah.
And we're that much more prepared thanks to you, Brittany. We appreciate you. Have a good morning.
You too. Thank you.
Best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning. God, good to talk to her again.
Yeah, it's great.
See all the stuff I had waiting to talk to her
you
about?
You did. It's what happens. We don't get her for a couple of days. He's getting all those questions back up there.
You get to talk to somebody who knows their stuff, man, about weather and everything. We got fun stuff to talk about with you, everybody. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up right around the corner. Mm-hmm. We'll also get into another fun topic I thought would be interesting, Seth. Americans... The state overrun by the most tourists.
Okay.
Which state is overrun by the most tourists? I think it'll surprise some people out there.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And why are inside jokes so important? Seth and I will know and you won't. Coming up, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about...
That's interesting, yes. Yeah. That's all our humor is based on. Nothing but inside references, that's all.
It's a Monday, so in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to kick it off the way we like to with our Kitchens Open segment. Mm-hmm. Beth will be joining us for that.
Very nice.
And I hope we can work this out budget-wise. I asked Beth to stick around for the next segment after that.
Okay.
She's going to be working a little overtime this today. She's going to stick around to go over with Seth and I the greatest Disney movie soundtracks of all time.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yes.
Some great soundtracks in there.
Get your votes ready, everybody. What is the greatest Disney soundtrack of all time?
Very nice.
Want to hear from you about that one. After all of that, Seth and I will talk a little entertainment. Huge weekend with the box office. I want to get into that with you a little bit, Seth. Along with an interesting one about George Lucas. I want to talk about. And some local theater. I got all those things coming up.
James panic on air. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. You're so right.
This was a date that was kind of snuck up on him there.
You're so right. We'll share that with you in a little bit later. Along with our schedule, some good stories of the day. Rafter baseball tickets to give away this hour. Mm-hmm. That's right. We're going to be doing that all week and leading you into on Friday when we give away Brewer tickets.
Yeah.
So baseball tickets all week long we're giving away.
Man, the rafters, they're almost done. They're almost done. I can't. Speaking of sneaking up on you, this always sneaks up on me every year because it's like, wait, they're done in the second week of August? Ah!
Well, we get, in working here for a handful of years now, you know what it's like for Pam and I and Chuck and everything, where we're so used to working with the rafters and the summers of it where you get caught up in the month and you're like, oh, wait a minute, it's almost gone.
It's almost gone.
Jake, assistant GM over at the Rafters. Him and I were talking this weekend. They'll be on for us at least one more time with Meet Your Rafters with some of the players. But throughout the whole year, we're going to be having the Rafters joining us with Meet Your Rafters with news during the winter and everything. Is there anything better than talking baseball in the winter?
Hot stove, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
Some of the best talk around.
That. Looking forward to it. And plenty more coming up. But I wanted to start. I got a bit of a hodgepodge of topics for us to kick things off, Seth. A Canadian woman with a talent for riding a big-wheeled bikes broke two speed records and an Australian track while pedaling. My computer.
What is it? What is it doing? It's like blanking its screen here. What the heck?
It's really just messing with me. It was like, hey, he's talking live on the air and he needs me right now.
Yeah, and so I'm going to take a nap. Yeah,
this would be the perfect time for me to do something I've never seen this computer do.
There we go.
So this Canadian woman was broke two speed records at an Australian track while pedaling a penny farthing. Oh, no, farthing. Sorry, farthing.
A penny farthing.
Sorry, eight-year-old me had to do that joke.
That's fine. That's okay.
Lizzie Wilmot climbed her Victorian-style bicycle and broke the Guinness World Records for the fastest speed on a penny farthing for a female.
Okay.
And the video of this is fantastic because... Okay. It's now she's like a real bicyclist, and she's dressed as one. She's racing like one, But she's doing it on one of those old timey bikes.
So if you gotta get in your mind's eye, everyone, the bikes with the huge front wheel and the tiny back wheel, the one you steer with. Okay, you've seen them in cartoons like hundreds of times, right? It's amazing to watch someone actually pedal on them.
Though. Yes, that's the thing. We've seen them in like. I feel like a credit to her. Well done. Very impressive. And I hope she has that record for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. But I do have a little bit of a gripe with this.
Oh.
Because she's in modern cycling gear.
Yes. She looks like a bicycle. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I feel like you kind of got to be in old timey gear. If you're truly going to break the record, you got to be in the gear and you have to talk like that.
Too. I am almost thinking this doesn't count because she's not in the gear from like 1910. That's what you need to be dressed as.
I don't mean to take this from her. I don't want to, nitpick, but I feel like, wow, she's really in a cat's pajamas. To see how right. It was wild.
Oh, man.
We also should not be able to watch the footage of this in anything other than sepia tone.
Yeah, exactly. With the film cracks in it and everything. Yeah, I'm totally with you on this.
I don't make the rules, man. I just I feel like...
it's like it would be like watching like old-timey bodybuilders, you know?
Yes.
With the circle...
Yeah.
the sphere dumbbells.
All weights were just those big balls. Like, I don't know how they ever moved weights around back then or how they ever knew how much...
And the old singlet. You know, you got to wear the old singlet when you're doing that. Have a mustache, handlebar mustache.
Had a big triangle-sized weight that you picked up. Yes. You know,
hop.
A South Carolina woman whose husband forgot to buy her lottery tickets made her own trip to the store and ended up winning over $500,000.
See, she should have done it all the time. She should have gotten them.
It pays to have a forgetful husband. The upstate woman told South Carolina Education Lottery officials she made a trip to the Mart in Linman because her husband had forgotten to buy the lottery tickets she requested.
Well, there you go. Do it yourself.
She says, quote, I was standing in line and these bright, shiny, glittery tickets caught my eye, said I bought three of them, which would not have been bought if her husband went.
That's right. He would have just gotten whatever he usually gets, right?
Right. This is part of the reason I'm doing this story, everybody. Quote, I felt like Jed Clampett when he discovered that bubbling crude. I love that line. I love that. You can hear her saying that, especially in a Carolina accent. My,
yes, it's perfect. Jed Clampett.
Quote, I have a little fun. She's going to have a little fun, take some trips in retirement. Will come sooner rather than later for her.
Nice. That's right.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah.
He is great never, story. Ever hearing the end of this.
No.
It's and not even, I don't even mean like she's going to, if I'm her, I don't have to bring it up. I never have to bring this up. It'll just be hanging there.
Yeah, like, right.
And especially like if she messes something up, you know, she burns the toast or something like that. Go. Good luck, man.
Yeah,
go ahead and make a complaint.
Every argument you lose, automatically from now on.
Yeah.
It's all done. It's all done for you. But hey, you got $500,000.
Exactly. On the positive side, you're rich.
You got some money now. Yeah.
I think you can handle that for being rich. I could. No, I know. Yeah. I could handle it. And finally, us being in Wisconsin here, Seth, and everything, maybe transplants, but even we get how important cheese is in this state.
Absolutely.
And we are at a news station. So a Calaberas cheese aged in a cave for 10 months received the top marks in a competition in Spain and earned a Guinness World Record when it was auctioned for $42,232.
That's a cheese. That's a cheese.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is the world's most expensive cheese.
It is now.
And it's not that big.
No, I bet you it's not.
It's about the size of a pizza.
Yeah.
Not a little smaller.
The cheese
even.
Wheel. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
The cheese created by Angel Diaz Herrero Cheese Factory was sold by the Regulatory Council in Spain.
And nice.
And purchased by a restaurant near there.
All right. See, now that's an investment. For it's a restaurant, now they can just like little hunks and say, would you like to try the award-winning cheese that we have and spend $10 per like a little tiny slice, right?
I was just talking about this. I got to go to a couple of nice restaurants in Chicago when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. One of them was like had family connections and stuff. And we went
Family connections or family connections?
I should have said that. We'll edit it. We're live? We would go there and people would talk about in the back room. It was one of those places that had the fine meat back there
that you
could take a slice off of and everything. Ooh, this aged pork or something from the old country and everything.
Big
I never got to go back
beef,
there.
Yeah,
I never got
right.
to see it. But that reminds me of that. Like you get to go back there and have
a little
slice of this cheese. The pricey cheese weighed in at 5 pounds, was made with cow's milk and aged for 10 months in a Los Mesos cave, which is nearly 5,000 feet above sea level. If you wanted to recreate the recipe at home.
First of all, you move to Spain because that's the only place the topology is like that.
Step one.
Yes.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club at Seth and James. Taking it through the morning on WFHR.
Does construction make you hungry? Sitting in the hot vehicle waiting to get through the next block or to be taken way out on a countryside detour? Maybe this summer you can turn that struggle into a new experience with El Cafe in Port Edwards. Cruise in for real Mexican dishes, homemade pies, and friendly faces. Relax in air-conditioned comfort and explore something new with El Cafe the next time you're stuck in central Wisconsin road construction. Put a little fiesta back into your day and drown the construction stress away.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink. But there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710 and I can build the perfect package for your business.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 90 this afternoon, and it is going to be muggy with a heat index close to the triple digits here later today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, 68. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 79.
It's a celebration.
You heard the boys. Time to do some celebrating here with our
You missed your calling.
With our good friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you tomorrow to treat yourself when they're back open at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, the gang is closed over there for today, but that gives you a day to get your recipe or your meal in mind.
Get everything prepped. Yep. Check out their menu, see what they got.
Go to lcafewi.com to do that, everybody. Be sure to throw their name into your search bar on Facebook and like what they're doing over there. Keep up to date on all the cool things that they're doing over
nice.
There. And get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Yeah. We love celebrating with you. You can email us, info@wfhr.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages. And Seth, you can call on up.
Yeah, 715-424-2600, as this caller who just called up did right now.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, I have a birthday that I forgot about calling in before.
Is it for today?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What do you got?
Linda Nash.
Yeah, we got Linda on here.
Oh, you have.
We already had Linda.
I'm the mother.
Oh, that's great.
That's very cool.
We appreciate
And we're 92 years old, her parents.
Oh,
wow.
We've been married for 72 years.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wonderful.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I haven't got them trained yet.
you hang in there. You know, I believe in you. You hang in there. You'll get it. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, wonderful.
You made our morning. We appreciate it.
Okay, then. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you, too. That's wonderful.
Best listeners in radio.
Yes.
Oh, love it. Appreciate you.
Fantastic.
And I love that we had it on here.
We're all set.
Great. We appreciate you. Keep getting us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Mm-hmm. And feel free to call in during the segment.
Just like that.
Yeah. Even during, next hour or something like that. We don't mind. Whenever you want to call and get them into us.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and get into this, Seth. We got three possible qualifiers. Give me a 1 through 3.
Let's go with 3 today.
All right. That gives us a... Well, I think you guys can tell by my voice who qualified.
Yes.
And Seth cannot see
the list. I cannot see the list. Nope.
First up, we want to wish a really happy birthday to Barb Moon.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Barb, you have the last name I want.
Yes.
I would love that name. A great name. And we hope you enjoy your day, Barb.
Yeah, it's a lot better than Knight Rider.
Yeah, I mean, much better. Enjoy your day, Barb. We wish you a great one. Another great name here. Happy birthday to Charlotte Blanchard.
Charlotte, happy birthday to you.
Enjoy your day, Charlotte. Hope it's a great day.
Not enough Charlottes in the world.
No, love
that. And the only reason I say that is because Char is one of my favorite nicknames.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Char, I love that nickname. Yeah. So that's when we need more Charlottes. Yeah.
Enjoy your day, Charlotte. Hope it's a good one. And our qualifier today celebrating, Linda Nash.
Linda. Wow, fantastic. How about that? That's great. I love it.
I couldn't have done that. You guys would see right through me if I did it on purpose. that's perfect. That's awesome. Happy birthday, Linda.
Happy birthday.
Your day. We hope it's a great one for you. And thank you very much, everybody who got us these birthdays and anniversaries.
And you have fantastic parents, Linda, by the way.
Yeah.
They're great.
Really amazing people. Yep. We take a look at who you share your birthdays with. Soulja Boy is 35. I don't know if he's had any hits recently, but I know he was big for a little while there.
Yep. What a name.
John David Washington is 41.
Okay.
Of course, Denzel Washington's son. You might have seen him in Ballers or Tenet or Black Klansman. Any of those, you would see some incredible work.
Denzel Washington's son is 41 years old?
Incredible.
How can he... I know he's older. He just doesn't look it. I just never associate him with being older. Yeah. He looks too good.
Yeah, he looks way younger than that.
Yeah, he does.
And his star kind of got going a little bit late, too. He was a great football player. He had every intention of going into the NFL. I believe he still has at UCLA the longest run in UCLA running back in history. I think it was 99 yards or something like that. I followed his career really strong.
Mm-hmm.
He acted and liked acting, but he really loved football. Mm. He really wanted to be an athlete. You can kind of see it because he takes that preparation. And I know this because the only prep I have for acting is from my sports father. he takes a lot of that with him. He is in Black Klansman. It's some incredible, incredible performance. Him and Adrian Brody are so good together.
Mm.
Tenet, I rambled about last week and how good he is in that. I've never seen this with an actor, though, who is the son of somebody. Mm. Maybe a little bit with Ben Stiller. Yeah, actually, maybe a little bit with Ben Stiller and his parents. But you watch Jan David Washington, he could be standing next to his father on the red carpet, and you see things like, oh, there's Denzel's smile.
Sure.
Or something like that. While at the same time, he's so his own creature.
Right.
He is so much his own person. And it's really cool to watch. Like, he's a great actor. I put his father is in my top five, so I'm not sure. I can't put him in there, but he is way up there and only getting better.
Right.
Lori Loughlin is 61. Rebecca on Full House. Right. Fuller House, of course.
Convicted felon.
Yeah. I got to throw that in there. Yeah. Don't mess with the, you know, don't mess with the colleges,
don't,
man.
Don't.
Elizabeth Berkley is 53.
Aw.
Jesse on Saved by the Bell. And, of course, Nomi in Showgirls.
Yes.
And let's see here, along with all those names, Sally Struthers is 78.
Wow.
Sally, I don't know why Struthers. All those names connect, just TV nostalgia right,
right there.
All those names.
All three, right in a row.
Three different decades.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Three different decades. How about
wow.
that?
Wow. That's cool.
And Sally Struthers, of course, did a lot of good work with her kind of campaign and a lot of the commercials she did back in the day, too.
Sure.
Jim Davis is 80. The great, the genius Jim Davis is 80. Let me get that right.
Wow.
Genius who created Garfield.
Garfield, yes.
And on a Monday, we're getting to celebrate Garfield and Jim Davis.
Of course we are. Still one of my favorite comics of all time. I was a big Garfield kid when I was growing up, partially because Garfield appeared June 19th, 1978, exactly 2 months before I was born.
Wow.
So I always felt like I had a connection with Garfield there. And I remember collecting the book. I remember making books because we got the Sunday paper.
Yeah.
So I would cut out the Garfield strips and like staple them together. So I would have Garfield comic books that I could read.
So I throw this in there just for fun. Heathcliff came 5 years before.
He did?
I had to double check. And I knew it was before. I didn't know it was 5 years before Garfield. And I've always thought that was kind of funny because a lot of people would come to think that, you know, Heathcliff came was a
because
a
of Garfield,
cheap
right?
copy or something
yeah,
like
right.
that. I, as a kid, did not... I don't think we saw a ton of, like... the Anteater and the Pink Panther, or characters like that with the with the darker kind of sense of humor, the sarcastic sense of humor.
Right.
Garfield was that, man. Yes. I love that about Garfield.
Very sarcastic, yes.
And I like Garfield and all, but Odie. Odie's one of my favorite characters ever. I love Odie. Well done. Happy birthday to Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Peter Cullen is 84, the voice of Optimus Prime in the Transformer movies.
Oh,
such a great voice actor.
Peter Cullen has one of those voices for the ages. Love that voice. Ah.
And some people that would have been celebrating their birthdays, like former First Lady, the definition of class, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, born in this day in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
So many moments of hers that I think that even in the moment, people were able to appreciate, I think, but only with time have we really truly been able to understand, I think, some of the magnitude of what was on her shoulders.
Having to go through that,
And I'm not even talking, like, before the assassination.
Right.
I mean, just being married into the Kennedy family.
I mean,
and some of the honesty. I'm not talking trash here or anything.
Yep.
My family ain't much better, you know. I mean, and neither is yours out there or anybody else. We're all of our families are like this. But it, having it put on blast, having it put out there for everybody.
Yep.
And there is no, she can go on her podcast and correct things or something like that.
Right.
And what was asked of our first ladies back then and how she changed some of that and while also completely changed the game when it came to like the first lady's style.
Right.
In some of those
being like
things.
A fashionable person, right?
Yeah. Heck of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the way she handled life afterwards.
Yes.
After the assassination.
Nothing but class.
Yeah. Yeah. And Beatrix Potter, born in this day in 1866. Wonderful children's author, brought us Peter Rabbit and many others.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good ones right there. And Rick Wright, born in 1943, Pink Floyd's famous keyboardist, original keyboardist.
Mm-hmm.
So much of Pink Floyd is brought on to, of course, the two big names. And then even Sid Barrett, who really was barely in Pink Floyd.
Yeah, he was one of the founders. But
certainly, not taking anything from him.
Right, but
by
because
the time
of his,
knew him.
Mm-hmm. By the time they became, quote unquote, Pink Floyd, he was long gone by then. Yeah.
You really can't talk about that band, though, without talking about every single band member.
No, they were all extremely talented. And to this day, you can listen. I mean, they've all put out some, you know, solo material, and it's good. I mean, they've Dave Gilmour just recently put out some amazing music. I was so surprised by that. Yeah.
And one more time, wishing a happy birthday and anniversary to everybody out there celebrating. Enjoy your day, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And make plans to head on over to El Cafe tomorrow. They'll be back open tomorrow at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Yes, indeed.
Head on over there and wish them a good day. We'll be back with some more fun on The Morning Show at 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Lisa Hale, in for Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is conducting an investigation into an officer-related death in De Pere in northeast Wisconsin. Just before 1 a.m. Saturday, dispatch got a call of a person with a rifle at a boat launch. Officers from the De Pere Police Department, Brown County Sheriff's Office, and Ashwaubenon Public Safety responded. When they attempted to negotiate with the person, officers from De Pere and Ashwaubenon fired their weapons when the subject showed the rifle. The person was pronounced dead at the scene. The involved officers are on administrative leave as the DOJ investigates. As part of EAA Air Venture 2025, the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company donated its last remaining blimp gondola frame to the EAA Museum. The frame will become part of a new children's exhibit. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the Goodyear blimp, making the donation even more memorable. In addition to the donation, visitors got the rare opportunity to see two blimps. Wingfoot, with its vintage wrap inspired by the first branded Goodyear blimp Pilgrim, and Wingfoot 2 were in Oshkosh for the duration of the fly-in convention. Speaking of EAA, the numbers are in, and it was another record-breaking year. As the skies over Wisconsin began to quiet and EAA Air Venture 2025 came to a close Sunday, officials announced that 691,000 visitors from 80 different countries were part of the event. That's about 5,000 more than last year's record-breaking attendance. 15,000 people camped on the grounds, 3,000 of them aircraft campers. EAA Air Venture 2026 next year will be July 20th through the 26th. For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Showdown at AmFam Field. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and the Cubs tonight in Milwaukee. The battle for first place. Both teams tied for the NL Central after the Brewers beat the Marlins 3-2 thanks to a walk-off RBI in the ninth by Blake Perkins, FanDuel Wisconsin.
Perkins, center field.
Perkins now back after missing half the season with a fractured shin bone.
It's been a long, long road, and this is the middle of the season for a lot of these guys, and I'm kind of coming in late, so it's just great. Great to come through for the guys and just appreciating these moments a little bit more.
NFL training camp in Green Bay, the Packers now in full pads.
Now we're talking about real football. These guys are still in their underwear out there, so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its four seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
All eyes will be on the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors as they become the Central Wisconsin Mashers in tribute to all the potato farming brings to our area. Join them for their annual Mashers Night on Friday, August 1st. Don't miss your chance to win one of the specialty jerseys in their silent auction presented by Food and Farm Exploration Center and McCain's Foods. Gather your family and head on down to historic Winterfield for this spudtastic game as the Raptors try to mash the Lakeshore Chinooks. First pitch at 6:35, but the fun lasts all evening.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 90 this afternoon, and it is going to be muggy with a heat index close to the triple digits here later today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, 68. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 79.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to get into some fun in the next couple of hours. We got Beth joining us at the top of the 10 o'clock mm-hmm. with the kitchens open.
Yep.
We'll be getting into that and going over our schedule, some good stories of the day. Plenty more coming up for you, everybody. But which state is being overrun by tourists? They're everywhere.
Yeah, well, they make it sound like there's like a locust swarm or something like that.
Oh, man, you got to put the windshield wipers, get them going and everything.
You
got tourists hanging on the cars and stuff. Yeah, I do like the idea that a tourist just falling around everywhere.
Where's the nearest bathroom?
Where is this happening? Well, show me where's a good place to eat.
Yeah.
Where's a good place to eat? If your ideal vacation includes whitewater rafting, coal mining, pepperoni rolls, maybe some of these kind of things, well, we might have a place for you. According to a new report, the U.S. state that's the most overrun by tourists is, do you want to take a guess? You want me to just say it?
Well, I don't know if those, what you just read off were, were hints at that. So maybe there, but West Virginia?
My goodness, Seth. That is
it was the mining that gave it away. Coal mining,
yeah. Nicely done, man. West Virginia.
Wow.
At least compared to the number of locals.
Right.
Researchers determined the visitors to local ratio for each state by dividing the annual tourist population by the annual residential population.
Okay.
So it's not the most popular tourist destination. It's just the most tourism traffic above the people who actually live there.
Per capita, right. That makes sense. Yeah.
West Virginia has the highest visitor to local ratio with 42.4 to 1.
Whoa.
That is a lot.
That's a lot. Wow.
North Dakota is next, followed by Delaware, Rhode Island, Vermont, Ohio, Tennessee, New Mexico, Idaho, and Wisconsin.
Okay. So now Wisconsin's got a little higher population than a lot of those states. So that's interesting.
Texas has the lowest visitor to local ratio state with 2 to 1. That's kind of wild to think of.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about anybody else, but right away in my head, it just really, like, just another sign of how massive Texas is.
Yes.
Man, that's wild.
Big state.
Arizona is next, followed by Alaska, North Carolina, Utah, Virginia, South Carolina, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Florida.
Okay.
When expanded to countries, Vatican City has the highest visitor local ratio, of course.
Of everything, because it's tiny.
It's
Come
always
on.
The outlier.
It's
not to say that it shouldn't be included. I feel like, though, that goes.
It is a nation, yeah.
Give us the other names, though. Like, what came in, quote unquote, second, third, and all
in
that.
In comparison, it's hard to do, yeah.
Others include the Bahamas, Monaco, Malaysia, and Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that all makes sense, yeah.
Hong Kong is a little.
Although Hong Kong's pretty big, so
Or at least to me, it seems big. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't really know.
It's a big
for
city,
sure.
Yeah. But that's all it is. It's a very small island. So
Vatican City has fewer than 900 permanent residents, including the Pope,
of course.
But millions of people visit every year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It does make it a lot easier to do. You know, who's going to do the shoveling? Who's taking the garbage out this week? It's a lot easier there.
You know what, though? I wonder if Italy is irritated by that.
Oh.
Because I think a lot of it is like people are, you know, visiting Italy. You know, they're in Rome and check, you know, like, hey, we're in Rome. You know, hey, there's Vatican City. You want to check it out while we're here? Oh, sure. Let's do it. Because it's in Rome. I mean, it's like fully encapsulated in the city of Rome. So, I mean.
Have I done any research on this topic? No. But yes, Seth. Yes, they are.
It just seems that way, right? It seems like that would be logical.
I'm Italian, therefore, as a rule of being Italian, you have to be proud of being Italian.
You've never been to Italy,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And I love my people and all that, but yes, 100%. If we could get bent out of shape about something, if we could talk.
They will find a way.
Yes, definitely are about that. Thought this one was interesting, too. Humans, and there's kind of a tie into these, I feel.
Okay.
So humans need at least 7 hours of sleep, according to, you know, science and
what we've the many, many studies we've gone through, right? Yeah.
Restore, recover, reprieve, you know, kind of just reset.
Reset,
if you will.
Yeah.
Well, according to a new poll, Americans spend nearly half of their entire day online between work, jobs and tasks, entertainment and socials. And here's how that breaks down. The average American spends more than 10 hours a day online. 5.4 of those hours are spent on working, regarding emails, paying bills, browsing, gaming, and looking at social media.
Sure.
And they spend another 5 hours streaming entertainment, whether it's watching movies, TV shows, videos, sports, what have you.
Whatever.
55% of them use their TV to stream content, followed by 25% who mostly use computers and tablets, and 20% who use their phone. So, this is, I feel like a lot of the times, especially with topics like this, as a person doing a morning show or just talk radio, I'm supposed to blah, 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 this is bad, evil technology and all that. I don't know that that's what this is necessarily, should necessarily be about, though. I mean, can it just be data?
Yeah.
Does everything have to be good or bad? Or
to moralize about everything?
This is the villain and this is the hero of the story or whatever.
Very binary.
Have we not realized by now that most of life is gray?
Yeah.
And this is just stuff. Now, I do think that if you feel like, whoa, I've been feeling like I spend too much time on streaming or tablets or whatever, maybe this is a nice way of you looking at this data in comparison to your own life and saying, well, this is where I can improve. Or maybe this is where I could take an hour of screen time away and get outside. Or maybe you're feeling pretty good and like, wait a minute, I don't do half of that.
Right, exactly.
You and I know, you yourself are not on social media.
Right.
So for you, you're not spending any time on social media.
Exactly. That takes a whole chunk right off there.
So there's a little win in the win column. Mm-hmm. There's a little thing where you feel good about yourself, maybe.
Right.
Or whatever you take from this.
Right.
It's your own case-by-case basis.
Right.
This data is cool and important, and I think that's part of the purpose of life, is getting information like this and surveys like this.
Right.
We're able to do that. But not everything has to be life or death.
No.
Not everything has to be so darn dramatic. And that's coming from me, the most serious person in the universe.
Right. Well, and let's again, perspective is always, you know, important on all of these things. Look at history. Remember when the TV came out and everyone was like, everyone's melting their brains. They're watching 6 hours of TV a day.
Children will never be the same. Children are going to be born with their eyeballs just gigantic.
Which, of course, you know, I'm sure they're detrimental for people who watch too much TV back in the day. I'm sure there was part of that, too. But also, education, right? People were educated by TV. You know, we got to see some amazing sports things and all these other things. Right now, I mean, and also, I'm curious about definitions here because, if you listen to a podcast, okay? Yes, you are using a device. You're online. Technically, you are online when you're listening to a podcast. But you're not necessarily looking at a screen because you're listening to it, right? Now, maybe you're reading while you're doing it, or maybe you're washing the dishes, or maybe you're taking a walk, but you're still technically online because you're listening to something that is streaming, either music or a podcast. Books. Yes, technically you're looking at a screen, but you're reading. What does that mean? You know, so we have to take that into consideration as well. What does all that mean? Just kind of lumping it all together as, you know, quote unquote screen time. Yeah, I guess in some ways that's true, but in a lot of other ways it's different. It's not the same thing. It's apples and oranges.
Some, from politicians to content creators and stuff, some people are invested in negativity, are invested in scaring you, are invested in separating us.
Sure.
I feel like more and more this kind of data is also a nice reminder of how much we're alike, how we're all dealing with these different things, and we're all trying to, you know, get the water out of the boat on the water here and everything. It's understandable. However you feel about this, it's okay, because it's a case-by-case kind of basis.
Absolutely.
I think. And I mean, I feel like it goes without saying, too. There's certain forms of entertainment that you should always have on, playing in the background, maybe on your home radio or something like that. Play us all the time.
Of course, you can also listen to us online.
Yes. Yes
as well. Yes. So, I mean, maybe we're part of the problem, James. I don't know.
That's completely okay. I've checked with doctors, and 9 out of 10 doctors, I'm pretty sure.
Listening streaming radio is okay. Nothing wrong with that.
You might want want to check with your local consultant about. Might want to not listen to me or other radio announcers or people like that for that matter.
Not qualified for that sort of thing.
Real quick, you brought up reading. I just want to throw this out there to you, the audience, quick poll question and everything. Does reading... can you call it reading if you listen to an audiobook? That came up with some students last night, and a very heavy debate came up to the point where one student was like, this is my cause now. And I'm like, hold up.
That's a big old settle down. Yeah,
I wish that was the biggest problem in my life. I wish.
Okay.
That was my...
Well, here's the question. I pose this to you. If someone reading to a group of children, is that considered reading to the children?
Good question.
If that's then if you consider that reading, then yes, because you're being read to by someone else, then it would be considered. If you do not consider that reading, then no. So there you go. I've solved it. Another problem solved.
I like it.
On the morning show here.
You're welcome, everybody. You go ahead and take that with you now. I want to hear from you guys out there. What do you think? Is it considered reading if you listen to an audiobook?
To be honest, I fall on the side of yes. I do consider that reading. Yes.
I do in the sense you're taking in the information.
Same thing.
And I want authors to survive. I want authors to thrive. Therefore, if you're reading
book readers for that matter, yeah.
Yes.
Get those people out there. We like them too. So
I think it's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
we will take a quick time out when we come back on an interesting one here about inside jokes. Now, Seth and I are only going to keep all of the information between each other, but we do encourage
it'll
you to listen.
Very confusing to you, but it would be hilarious for us.
It's going to be filled with a billion inside. No, I actually don't think we have too many that we.
Not probably, a lot. No.
That's the thing about inside jokes. I don't think you really know them until they're happening,
and then you
might realize. We'll talk about that when we come back on the morning show. WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunny, hot, and humid today, with high temperatures scraping the low 90s, but really feeling more like the upper 90s. Then tonight, late tonight, overnight, showers and storms. Some could be strong to severe, bringing hail and high winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 83 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. We're just playing music this morning now. Nothing but Hendrix.
Taking a break, yep.
I cannot play some Hendrix and not want to finish it, man. This one in particular, it's a good one. Nice.
Yes.
I don't know how popular it is, but I don't know.
I think it's a classic.
I think so, too. Yeah, definitely. Welcome back. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. We want you to know that the 10 o'clock hour is going to kick off the way you like it to with the kitchens open.
Mm-hmm.
Beth is going to join us. We're looking forward to it. And Beth is going to work some overtime with us. She's extra innings
yes,
with us
there you
today.
Go. Nice.
She's going to stick around as we get into some fun with the top Disney soundtracks of all time.
Very cool.
We have to get into that, and you have to say time that way.
Yes.
So you cannot. We also will get into some entertainment news in the 10 o'clock hour. Have a bunch of local things we want to talk about in our schedule, some of that. I want to get into with you, Seth. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. For right now, let's go ahead and dive into inside jokes.
All right, let's do it.
I think that one of the best telltale signs of a good friendship is an inside joke.
Right.
I think it's whether we're talking about office friends or office buddies or somebody that you've known since grade school, a cousin, a brother or sister, right, whatever it might be, inside jokes. They mean so much when it comes to having those inside jokes with family members, especially siblings or cousins. Mm-hmm. It could be a bonding thing for parents and kids that moment that only you guys were around for. And then, of course, it's one of the bigger bonding things for friendships, especially, you know, when you're first getting to know each other and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not something that anybody ever set out to do. It isn't something that was ever built into our society to make us better as human beings. It wasn't something we just evolved to. I genuinely believe that inside jokes have been a thing as long as we've been able to communicate.
Probably, yeah.
Even before language, I believe that there were probably inside jokes. I don't have any proof of this. Being a student of history and all that stuff and everything, I really think there's something to it.
Right.
And while we continue to, you know, life only goes one direction and all that, and like everybody else, I'm here for the ride. I don't know that we do this enough where we kind of sit back and marvel at humanity and admire certain things. Mm-hmm. And wow, we came up with that.
Yeah.
That's not something that was handed to us or even the earth gave to us or something like that. We just thought, hey, we're going to do this thing and we're going to give it a name and it's called inside jokes.
Right. Right. Well, and honestly, you know, I've always maintained that the greatest invention that humanity has ever done is language, which is something that had to be developed.
Yeah, good luck topping that one.
I'm serious.
You got that. Yeah.
If it were such, you know, if it weren't a big deal, then babies would be born being able to speak.
Right.
But they're not. We have to teach them. This was a learned thing. This was an invented thing.
And we didn't just do it once.
No, we did it thousands and thousands of times. It's right?
You're so
isn't
right
that amazing?
About that. Oh man!
And this is just one of the small little things about, you know, language that makes it such a fantastic, the idea that language changes and evolves over time. I mean, it's one of the most versatile things too. It's amazing.
I think it's I don't know that it's important is that much of a, it's a little bit too heavy of a word maybe, but I think it's great and it's not a bad thing. There's no downside. Every once in a while, kind of just taking like a step back approach and looking at the things we've accomplished.
Right.
Sure, there's walking on the moon. That's pretty high up there. There's also things like this that we're talking about here, language, inside jokes.
Yeah, anything like that.
Also deserve kind of a pretty big tip of the hat.
Yeah.
and now I've obviously thought about this a bit before, but I've never really thought too deeply about this like these psychologists have. They say that psychologists say they actually promote our brain's belonging response inside jokes.
Totally makes sense.
Turns out they are a very healthy and good thing for our brain.
Cool.
This belonging response is quite important to our brains. It's our brain's way of saying you're safe here, so the more the merrier.
Well, that's really cool.
Now, our brains, and so much of our data, so much of our time, so much of neurology is spent on not only mapping the brain, studying the brain, but also, why are we afraid of this? Why are we afraid of that? Why do I get anxious? Why do I? There's all these kind of things that I don't like to say them negative. They are what they are. Mm-hmm. We're here today because of a lot of that stuff.
Right.
But it does tend to have a more serious tone to it and a more of a negative tone to it in a lot of ways. There's also the other side of this that we're starting to discover more and more. Mm-hmm. And that belonging response is something that we all feel.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest lone wolf out there still wants to be part of a pack.
Right.
Still hunts best with a pack.
Mm-hmm.
It's just human nature. And not just human nature, living nature.
Yeah.
And the way it is.
You see it there's so many, almost all creatures are the same way. They're social. They band together.
Along with that, here are some other reasons inside jokes are good for you. They strengthen a group identity.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing laughter bonds people, so inside jokes are like glue for teams, families, and friend groups. They're little reminders of what you've been through together.
Right. Think of fandom. You know, basically, you have like a media property that you and a bunch of people really enjoy. I mean, those are like just filled with opportunities for inside jokes, right? You get to say, you know, like, oh, that one episode. And they refer to this one thing and they're like, ha ha, yeah, that was great. Or something like that. I mean, you can see anything, you know, because let's see, James, you're a big fan of The Office, right? The TV show The Office. A lot of people are. I've never watched an episode in my life. So you guys, you see someone, you know, hey, remember that episode? You know, they ah, and I'd be like, huh, what?
Quoting something from a TV show or a movie and having somebody you don't know that
respond to it.
Yes. That is one of the quick ways. Oh, yes, we're like each other.
Yep. We have something in common.
I heard a great one from Dan Le Batard the other day talking about seeing somebody in a Creed Cruise shirt and immediately thinking, okay, that person is either wearing that ironically and I could get along with them, or they're wearing it seriously and I don't know if I could. There's these telltales right away of how we tell each other our interest in comedy or
whatever it is,
funny,
right?
Or interesting, or all that. A single word is another way of this too, where I love that part of it. I hadn't thought of growing up, my brother and sister, I got called everything by people outside, and even my dad sometimes. So my brother and sister had actually a really hard time kind of like getting under my skin and ribbing me. My sister was a huge fan of Rainbow Bright, and they had a character on there called Lurky. And I don't know why, but they started calling me Lurky, and to this day, it drives me crazy. They could text me that word right now, and I would lose my cool. We would only be the only ones getting that if I didn't share it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's that kind of thing. It's really something I don't know that I've really thought that deeply about that part of it.
Well, why would you?
Just how one one word can do it.
It can. Yep.
They create psychological safety. We don't crack jokes with people we don't trust. Inside jokes thrive in places where you can be yourself. Mm. Notice this about people. They will try to make you laugh if we're friendly with each other, even office friends.
Sure.
But you'll see a lot of nervous laughter with people who aren't ready to be, you know, don't know. Boy, I don't know if they're going to find this funny or not. You know, and that follows.
And that's a different kind of laugh, right?
We're trying to, not force, but we're trying to incentivize people to laugh, because laughter is contagious and all
and
that.
And that's another great way of connecting. It's just another, you know, that's what you're trying to, you're reaching out in that sense.
Even when I don't find something funny, I really try not to give people a letdown in that.
Right.
Because they're trying, and they're trying to bond with me.
Right.
And maybe they don't get my style of humor because I'm weird. But I know they're trying, so you go with it.
Except for my son. I'm brutal with him because if it's not funny, I tell him. That's because I want him to be funnier.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to try harder.
As Seth and I continue to try to add to the entertainment world,
that's
creating
right.
nothing but entertainers. Yes. You're going to be a stand-up comic, kid. Get funny. They help us cope, especially at high-stress jobs. Inside jokes are a form of resilience. Humor becomes a way to survive the chaos.
Makes sense.
I think maybe my favorite example of this is, and obviously mine, Lenny Briscoe in Law & Order. And every Law & Order episode is starting the same way, with him making some pun or some dark joke.
Bad joke, right? Yeah.
But you get that they do this because their jobs are 24/7 intense.
Yeah.
And they're trying to keep things a little bit lighter just because, hey, that's how you survive the job when your job is that intense.
And in that sense, it adds so much to the, you know, the reality of the program. You know, a show that was predicated on the idea, this is serious. And that makes it feel that much more serious because it's like, a cop would do that, right?
Yep. And finally, they make relationships feel exclusive in a good way. It's fun to be in on the joke, you know?
Right.
Inside jokes are mini clubs for shared history, even if the punchline makes no sense to anyone else.
Right.
At the end of the day, these silly phrases and memories are proof that we've been part of something. We belong. So keep on making those weird inside jokes with your besties and all that.
Good stuff.
That belonging part.
Mm-hmm.
That goes so deep into society, into human beings individually.
Right.
And I think that we hopefully we can do a better job going forward, knowing more of this stuff, mm-hmm. understanding the brain, understanding people a little bit better.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we all got to hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Right.
But we all got to live on this rock together.
Mm-hmm.
There is a big difference of the divisiveness that we've experienced in, you know, years now, decades. I'm not talking about the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about since the first human being walked upright.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That we come closer and closer together.
Right.
And that we understand more and more of each other in that way.
You have to remember the reason we are where we are as human beings right now is because of cooperation. We wouldn't be able to do this without cooperating with one another.
The greatest things accomplished in humanity have been together.
Yes.
What is the great accomplishment done by one person?
There isn't one.
There isn't anything.
No.
There's nothing. There's nothing on that list, everybody. I could save you
some. Everyone's had help. Everyone's learned from others. Everyone has worked together in some way. Now, their name may be on the thing, but that doesn't mean that they are alone in doing it.
You don't need Jeminski or Googler for these ones.
Jabinski. I'm going to start calling it that. Yes. I'm Jabinski.
I refuse to call them by their real names.
Because they're stupid.
I also like the idea of, like, you know how in movies or TV shows they have to use a generic version of something I like some show.
Just some,
like,
of them, the Google ones are fun. Yes, those are great.
Those are. I'd love to be the guy.
Bonkle.
I want to come up with those and like Yankee Candle names in my side gig, like as a side, like hustle and everything.
Just nice.
In
perfect.
A room smelling candles, naming. We will have a better job for you coming up. We got the Kitchens Open. Kitchens Open's coming up at the top of the hour. Beth going to join us with another great episode there. We're looking forward to it. And plenty more coming up right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he's giving Vladimir Putin 10 to 12 days from today instead of the original 50 to reach a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine. CBS's Aaron Navarro from Edinburgh.
The president indicated earlier today that window would be cut because he, quote, already knows the answer and what's going to happen.
President Trump also expressing concern about the humanitarian situation in Gaza.
We can save a lot of people. I mean, some of those kids are, that's real starvation stuff. I see it. And you can't fake that.
Prime Minister Netanyahu's announced daily pauses in fighting to allow aid trucks to enter. Grand Traverse County, Michigan Sheriff Michael Shea crediting bystanders with holding a man in a parking lot after he allegedly stabbed 11 people at a local Walmart.
They were actually utilizing numbers and their available resources to get this individual in a position where he couldn't get away.
CBS News Brief. I'm